Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, a new ICE detention center in Social Circle could be up and running by April. The FBI uses discrepancies in Fulton County's vote counts to justify seizing ballots from 2020. And state lawmakers come up with a solution to address a teacher shortage, and some are voting on it with caution.
I realize we have a situation with shortages in the classroom, so I'm willing to support this and move forward. But I want someone to put a flag in it, put a pin in it, so that we evaluate it in 2 years, 3 years, whatever the time frame needs to be.
Today is Tuesday, February 10th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. An affidavit unsealed today details what FBI agents took when they searched a Fulton County elections warehouse. The documents from the 2020 election included ballots, tabulator tapes, and ballot images from a recount. The FBI listed several complaints against the county to justify the search. Those complaints include discrepancies in ballot counting. GPB's Sarah Callis has more.
The unsealing of the document supporting the search came because of a legal motion filed by Fulton County Commission Chairman Rob Pitts. He says voters in Fulton have a right to know what the Department of Justice was looking for during the operation.
I still believe that the confiscation of these boxes was a distraction, and that what's really going on here is an attempt to interfere with elections in 2026 and 2028.
President Donald Trump has repeatedly cited unfounded claims that the 2020 election in Fulton County was stolen. Since the search, Trump has suggested that the federal government take over elections in several places, including Fulton County. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
The Department of Homeland Security has completed the purchase of a warehouse in Social Circle east of Atlanta to set up a new ICE detention center. Representative Mike Collins, who represents Social Circle, has been a vocal supporter of ICE. He served as the middleman between DHS and local officials who opposed the facility.
And I fully support ICE, 100%. We need to get these illegal aliens out of our country and make sure that we process them and move them on.
Local officials in the heavily Republican city say they do not have the infrastructure to support the proposed facility, which is set to house up to 10,000 people. Collins says he is urging DHS to address Social Circle's questions.
They need to make sure that that they take care of all the concerns of the local people there.
The new detention center could be up and running as soon as April. A federal judge in Georgia says the volume of lawsuits challenging the legality of the Trump administration's immigration detentions amounts to a, quote, judicial emergency. The judge works in the judicial district that handles most of those lawsuits in the state. GPB's Grant Blankenship has more.
Because of its proximity to the Stewart ICE Detention Center, Georgia's Middle District Federal Court hears most of the state's habeas arguments. Before President Trump's immigration crackdown, that normally meant about 100 habeas suits a year. But this January alone, the court saw 2 years' worth of suits. That's part one of what federal U.S. District Judge Clay Land calls a judicial emergency in the standing order he handed down recently. Part two, Land says even though the court typically finds detainees are entitled to bond hearings, the federal government isn't complying without the extra push of a court order. So Judge Land is spreading the work, empowering lower magistrate judges to quickly screen the flood of habeas filings against case law and to issue court orders for bond hearings. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
The Georgia Senate passed a bill yesterday aimed at addressing a shortage of certified teachers in public schools. SB 150 would allow retired teachers to return to the classroom full-time and receive both their retirement and salary as income. Some lawmakers expressed concern that the bill would create an unintentional incentive to allow people to double dip. Republican State Senator Blake Tillery of Vidalia responded to those concerns.
I realize we have a situation with shortages in the classroom, so I'm willing to support this and move forward, but I want someone to put a flag in it, put a pin in it, so that we evaluate it in 2 years, 3 years, whatever the time frame needs to be.
The bill passed 48-1, and for more updates from the General Assembly, tune to GPB's Lawmakers on GPB-TV. The show airs every night at 7 when the legislature is in session and anytime at gpb.org/lawmakers. State lawmakers are looking at ways to shield electricity ratepayers from costs driven by data centers. The State Public Service Commission approved a Georgia Power request to expand power production, largely to serve current and projected demand from data centers. A bill passed a House committee this week that would make sure associated costs are not passed on to consumers. A similar bill awaits a hearing in the Senate. 7 months after an alleged $140 million Ponzi scheme collapsed, investors are impatient to recover their money. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said yesterday that his office is stepping up its efforts, and Republican state lawmakers are considering legislation in the wake of alleged wrongdoing at First Liberty Building and Loan. Federal investigators say the company defrauded at least 300 investors, many of them in the top ranks of Georgia Republican politics. The company was led by influential Republican Brant Frost IV. The company promised high returns, but investigators say Frost stole millions. A federal court-appointed receiver is working to recover assets. The state of Georgia and Georgia Tech Research Institute have launched a website that allows consumers to compare what medical facilities around the state will charge you for more than 200 common procedures. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Procedures include knee replacements, colonoscopies, and childbirth. After entering information including your zip code, the Georgia All-Payer Claims Database Cost Comparison Tool will give you the median provider costs where you live. Dr. John Duke directs the Center for Health Analytics and Informatics at GTRI. He says there can be significant ranges for things like radiology.
Someone might say, oh, I can get the low back MRI at this center down the way, and it's $700, and over here it may be $2,000, and those kinds of differences can drive a change.
Duke says the website filters by payer type, including commercial insurance, Medicare, and Medicaid. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
The Georgia Ports Authority's longtime leader plans to step down next year. The agency said today that President and CEO Griff Lynch will hand over his role as president in July and his role as CEO in mid-2027. His successor in both roles will be Kevin Price, president of Gateway Terminals, a company that streamlines operations at the Port of Savannah. Lynch has led the Georgia Ports Authority over a 10-year period of unprecedented growth. The ports at Savannah and Brunswick are major drivers of the state's economy, supporting 12% of Georgia's total employment. That's according to a 2025 report from the University of Georgia's Terry College of Business. Atlanta's Peachtree Road Race has a new title sponsor for the first time in 50 years. The Atlanta Track Club said today the July 4th event, billed as the world's largest 10K, is now the Northside Hospital Peachtree Road Race. The event's longtime title sponsor, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, will continue as an official media partner. The race attracts more than 50,000 participants each year and will open its member and lottery registration for 2026 on April 1st. The Augusta Municipal Golf Course will reopen on April 15th after a 16-month renovation. The 18-hole course, first opened nearly a century ago and commonly known as the Patch, announced its reopening date and pricing structure today. Augusta Technical College, First Tee of Augusta, and Masters Tournament Charities were behind the massive project to redesign the city-owned course. The renovations also include a 9-hole short course designed by Tiger Woods and his firm. And the Atlanta Braves pitchers and catchers officially reported to spring training today. The Braves have a new catcher on the rolls. The team signed veteran catcher Jonah Heim to a one-year contract. The move comes as catcher Sean Murphy is sidelined while recovering from hip surgery. Heim is a former All-Star and Gold Glove winner with Texas. He's expected to serve as an experienced backup to rookie catcher Drake Baldwin, who won the National League Rookie of the Year last season. Just two seasons ago, Heim was a key contributor on a World Series winning team, giving the Braves a proven option as they navigate injuries early in the year. And that is a wrap on Georgia Today. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you come back tomorrow as well. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. That'll help you remember to do so. And check out gpb.org/news for the latest headlines and any updates to the stories you heard on the podcast today. Our lines are open for feedback. Drop us a note by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.